Our scripture reading for this evening is John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. Listen now for God's holy word. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." My friends, the grass may wither and the beautiful flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say,
Amen. Amen.
This evening we have another portion of John chapter 21. Last week we looked at the very first part of John chapter 21. And this week we're looking at the next story in the chapter, and these two stories are very much linked and tied together. Last week, Robbie preached for us on the first part of John chapter 21. It's the story about Peter and some of the other disciples after Easter, after the resurrection. We hear that they go back to Galilee, and we're not told exactly why, but for some reason, Peter and the disciples, rather than getting right to work doing the work of the church, whatever that might be, we find out that Peter and the other disciples decide instead to go fishing. They go back to their fishing boats. In the Gospels, we find that the disciples, many of the disciples were fishermen before Jesus called them to follow him. And so we have Peter saying to the other disciples, "I'm going fishing." And they say, "Okay, Peter, we'll go with you." And John tells us that that night they went out fishing and they caught nothing. They had zero success. And so it was early in the morning, the sun was starting to rise, and their nets are empty, and a figure appears on the beach, and of course it's Jesus, and he calls out to them, and he knows that they have had no success fishing. And he says, "Cast your nets on the other side of the boat." And the disciples obey this command from the stranger on the shore, and they cast their nets on the other side of the boat, and they catch a massive amount of fish, so many that their nets are straining and might break. And then Peter and the disciple who Jesus loved realize that this is Jesus on shore, and so Peter jumps into the water and he swims back to shore. And when he gets there, he finds that Jesus has prepared breakfast for the disciples. It's a wonderful story. This story follows immediately after the one that I just read. We're told that after breakfast, Peter and Jesus have a dialogue about love and a dialogue about service. Peter, who famously did a terrible job following Jesus during his arrest and his crucifixion, Peter, who told Jesus that he would follow him no matter what, when Jesus was arrested, Peter famously denied being a disciple of Jesus three times. Peter is asked while Jesus is on trial. He's sort of recognized as being one of the disciples. And three times he's asked, "Aren't you one of this guy's disciples?" And three times Peter says, "I don't know the guy. No, I'm not. I am not one of his disciples." In this story, Jesus has a dialogue with Peter. And commentators see this as a story where Jesus is rehabilitating Peter. Peter, who like us, is not a perfect disciple, who makes mistakes, who has faults and failings along the way. Jesus rehabilitates him. He asks him three times, Peter, do you love me? And three times Peter is able to affirm, yes, Lord, I love you. Each of those affirmations, a rehabilitation of each of his denials. No, I don't even know that guy. Each one an affirmation, yes, I love you. I love you. I love you. And as Jesus has said earlier in the gospel, if you love me, you will follow my commandments. And so another version of that that saying, if you love me, you will follow my commandments. Peter affirms his love. Yes, Lord, I love you. And Jesus gives him a commandment. Jesus gives him direction for what it is that Jesus wants Peter and the disciples and the church to do for Jesus. Their mission, their commission, their calling in the world. Tend my sheep. Feed my lambs. All right, I'll get it right. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. To tend and to feed. These two stories together are just so rich with metaphors and imagery and ideas that have been crucial to our understanding of our calling as Christ's followers, our calling as members of the church. The first is the fishing metaphor. When Jesus finds the disciples at their father's fishing boats and he calls them away and says, I will make you fishers of men, the early church heard in that calling a fulfillment of God's promises in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament time, God's people had been scattered all throughout the world. Their enemies had come and conquered their towns and villages, and their enemies had cast nets, metaphorically and sometimes literally, had cast nets over the people of God's people and had drawn them out of their towns and their villages and had dragged them off into exile. The enemies of God's people had come and cast their nets over God's people and taken them from where they belonged and scattered them all throughout the world. And so, in Jesus' time, there was an understanding that God's people were in exile. They were scattered all throughout the world. They weren't where they belonged. They weren't a part of God's kingdom. And in the Old Testament, God had promised that God would send someone to gather God's people together again. God's message would go out. God's light would go out. God's power would go out. God's word would go out. And God's word would gather God's people back together again. So when Jesus found the disciples fishing at their father's fishing boats and said, I will make you fishers of men, the disciples didn't just hear that as a strange metaphor. What in the world is this Jesus guy talking about? What does it mean to fish for people? They would have understood that from their Jewish context of knowing the Old Testament. They would have heard in Jesus' word the proclamation that God's promises were now going to come true. God had come into this world through Jesus to fulfill God's promise, to gather God's people back into God's kingdom. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. God's promise was coming true, and the disciples were called to partake and participate in this work of casting the nets and gathering in God's people. And so in the first part of John chapter 21, we see that the disciples, without Jesus' help, are pretty bad at gathering in together God's people. They go out fishing and they have no luck at all on their own. But when they listen to Jesus on the shore, when they listen to the direction that he gives, the catch is so abundant that they can barely manage it for themselves. The disciples, the early church, saw this as a promise and a fulfillment of God's calling. Our calling as the church is to go out and to help gather in God's people, to let them know that God's kingdom is a kingdom that has metaphoric gates that are always open, facing every direction of the compass, gates where God's people can stream in and find a place in God's kingdom, a place at God's table. Metaphors are wonderful, but they don't always go all the way, right? If you take a metaphor too far, sometimes it falls apart, right? So in this story, the metaphor changes. It changes from a fishing metaphor to this shepherding metaphor, right? When fishermen catch fish, after they catch them, they don't do nice things to them, right? After a fisherman catches a fish, well, sometimes they do nice things, right? You can set it free again, right? But in Peter's context, if you catch a fish, you're going to eat it or sell it, right? So the metaphor changes to a shepherding metaphor. The church has a dual calling to go out and to help gather God's people back into God's kingdom. But then once those people are gathered back into the kingdom, the church also has a calling to feed and to tend and to care for God's people, to be good shepherds. This is the self-understanding of the church that we find in the Gospels. This is what the disciples, the apostles, the first generation of Jesus' followers understood that Jesus was asking them to do. God's Son had come into the world, had gathered a people together and said, "You are my people, you are my servants in this world. And what is it that I want you to do? Gather people in and then care for them, feed them, tend to their needs, care for them, care for them." This is, of course, relevant to us as the Blauenberg Reformed Church. We, as a church, have been engaged in a vision process. And as I've been studying this passage and thinking about it, I haven't been able to not hear it and think about it in terms of our vision process. The disciples in the fishing boat with empty nets, frustrated that they haven't been able to catch many fish, right? I think we can relate to those disciples. We're sitting in our fishing boat wondering, what can we do? You know, we've been casting our nets the best way that we know how. We've been trying different ways of fishing. And we've had some success, but not the kind of success that we really crave and desire and want for. And so as a vision team, part of what we are doing is trying to, as a congregation, as leaders, we are trying to open our hearts and our ears to the ways that Jesus might be calling us to cast our nets in new directions. Or in new ways, right? And the good news of this text is that Jesus shows up. He shows up with direction. And not only direction, but also provision. He feeds the disciples. There is breakfast for them when they make it to shore. Jesus is a savior, a leader for us who is full of grace and love. He shows up in our lives and he is present to us. The disciples deserted him when he was arrested. Peter denied him 3 times, and yet Jesus continues to show up in his disciples' lives to call them, to equip them with the direction and the help that they need to do the work that they need to do. And so we as a church, as we engage in this vision process, we should listen with ears that are hopeful that Jesus will, in fact, give us direction. Jesus will, in fact, give us a good word to set us on a faithful path for the next phase of our role as being fishers of men, of being Jesus' disciples and apostles here in this world. And then, of course, Jesus also calls us to be shepherds for God's people, to care and to tend, to feed. And so as a vision team, as a congregation, as leaders, we are also asking that question. What is it that we as a congregation need? What is it that we together need in order to be tended to, in order to be fed spiritually? What does it mean for us to be good shepherds to one another? And how is it that we can be good shepherds to those whom God might draw into our fellowship and into our communion? Jesus ends this passage by saying, "Follow me. Follow me." And so that is our desire, our calling. What it means to be faithful is to seek to set our vision and our ears and our hearts on Christ and to follow him into the mission, into the calling that he gives us. He comes with grace. He comes with love. He comes with forgiveness and acceptance. He comes rehabilitating us from our mistakes and our missteps along the way. He comes feeding us breakfast. He comes with the direction and the calling that we need. And he comes and says, "Follow me." And so, my friends, let us, with faithful hearts, follow him. Amen.
Part and
in place, peace in place. So it's almost, we're almost there. Pretty cool, huh? Other notes? Yes, Laura.
I don't see Alan, so maybe I'll say we have ship sandwich making tomorrow.
Great. At 1 o'clock. So the group is gathering tomorrow at 1 o'clock to make the lunches for ship. So just a reminder that that's happening tomorrow at 1. I believe everything you need is down in the church in the refrigerators. You can pray for Mark and I. We are going to be representing our classes at General Synod this year. So Mark and I will be flying to Tucson, Arizona to attend General Synod. It's our annual national gathering of church leaders and representatives for nearly a week of worship and prayer and meetings and discussions and fellowship. And we will be very busy. It's not a vacation. The breakfast, what's breakfast? Like 6:30 to 7:15, and then they keep us moving until what time at night?
10 o'clock at night.
10 o'clock at night. So we will be at a fancy resort. There are, like, you know, golf and hot tubs and things like that, but we'll be busy doing church work that time. So, but pray for us as we go. There's a rotation of churches in our classes. So every year, different churches have the responsibility to provide a delegate to General Synod. And this year it just worked out that I'm on call to be our delegate for one of our ministers. We send two ministers. And our elder Scott was on call to send a delegate as well. So Mark is meeting that call and will be representing not only Blauenberg, but all of classes over Raritan.
When is it?
June 13 through 18. Yeah, June 13 through 18. Other announcements? Prayers? Gina?
Yeah. Madison 15.
Yeah.
She's online, but if you can hear me, I'm reading her text. She asks for prayer for Kel, a 5-year-old who was visiting his grandparents in Manitoba Road and was hit by a speeding truck on Friday morning. He had a concussion, possible other injuries, but going home soon, she's hoping that it's not too soon for total assessment.
Is that in her community? Is that in her community or?
No, it was in Florida, but not in.
Okay.
It's her relative, a distant relative, cousin of her. Oh, a cousin of her grandson Daniel. Yeah. And so she doesn't do that. She knows without prayer or warriors.
Wow. Gina's sister Maggie asking for prayers for a 5-year-old boy, Kel. He was hit by a car and is recovering. So prayers for his full recovery. Hilda.
A neighbor, Josephine, and her husband, she's been in for testing, and they're suspecting cancer. She'll get the report tomorrow.
Okay.
So I would like prayers for Josephine.
Prayers for a neighbor of Hilda's, Josephine. She's being tested for cancer, possible cancer. So prayers as they await the test results. Sandra.
Andrea, I believe, is back from Los Angeles, and her eye surgeries were pretty successful. So she's thankful for that and thankful for all the prayers from our congregation. She's headed on Tuesday to Germany because her mother needs some extra care now. So pray for her.
All right.
To help her decisions with what her mother has to have done.
So prayers for Andrea Everly. She had eye surgeries again in California, and we're grateful that they were relatively successful. And then Andrea will be traveling to Germany to help care for her mother soon. So prayers as Andrea travels. One of my Rotarian friends asked for prayers. So Sharon Krasinski, who we know because Sharon had a role in helping Diana at the end of Diana's life, Sharon and her husband Jeff are moving out of Montgomery and moving to Arizona. Jeff retired and they're heading to Arizona so he can be closer to his beloved golf courses. I kid. Sharon's wonderful. I got to know her through the Rotary. Others have gotten to know her through Diana. And she will dearly miss the Montgomery community that she's been a part of. And so we can pray for her as she and her husband pack up and head out. I believe they're moving this week. And Sharon's so great. You know, I help with the funnel cakes for the Rotary Club as well. And when I found out she was moving, I said, Sharon, like, how are we going to manage funnel cakes without you? And she said, don't worry, I'll fly in and I'll be here that week. So she's fantastic. Prayers for Sharon and her husband as they move. Other prayers? Yes?
People in our country in these tornadoes, Oklahoma, Kansas, they took a swath right through there.
Okay. So prayers for those facing tornadoes. Yes,
and for the students on the campuses, the unrest.
So for students on campuses, the protests, the unrest, the arrests that are happening, we can pray that. What should we pray for? We should pray prayers of thanksgiving for young people raising their voices and expressing their beliefs. We should pray for tolerance and loving words, not hateful words, not words that do damage or harm to people. We should pray for school administrators and law enforcement that they respect all of our rights for free speech, that they would seek to resolve any conflicts without violence or trouble. And we can pray for peace in Gaza, in Israel, and throughout our world. What do you think, Robbie? Did I say that okay? Yeah? Right. He's got friends at Columbia, and there's protests happening at the seminary and at Princeton University as well. So, speaking of Robbie, this is the very last time we're going to see Robbie in worship with us as an intern. Hopefully he'll come visit us from time to time next year when he's a third-year student. But he'll be busy at his other internship, so we probably won't see him too much. So we'll say prayers of thanks for Robbie again this week. Anything else? Yes, Laura.
I just am thankful for the fun way that God works in our lives sometimes and reminds us of his presence through the little things that go wrong or right. My horse got loose the other day, so apparently his neck isn't feeling too bad right now. And he got busted out of the fence. And the landscapers were the only people right there at the time, and they took upon themselves. One guy actually caught him without a halter or anything. I'm not sure how they ended up getting a neighbor's farm until I could come and send him home. And all I know now is that his name was Christian. And I thought that was a sign, just a nice little warm fuzzy I got from his name. And then when I agreed to come back and try to help fortify the fence with the owner, right when I got there, he had learned that his wife Carol, our friend Carol, son, she couldn't get back from the hospital where she was doing PT, and she'd been waiting like an hour, and he was going to try and drive, and it's not advisable for him to be driving at this point. So I said, I'll take the only, I've got nothing to do, so I thought I was there to do a fence, but I was really there to help Carol get home. She's like, oh, thank you so much, I don't know what we would have done. And I'm like, it's a God thing, you know, I was here for you. I thought it was for the fence, but it was for you. And then we worked from later, but I just thought it was cool the way it worked.
Let's summarize that by saying, God works in our lives. We just have to have our ears and eyes and hearts open to seeing how God is working in our lives. If you want to hear more of that story, you'll have to reach out to Laura Warren and hear the full tale. All right, we will continue in worship. We continue in worship as we remember that not only does Jesus show up in our lives with grace and provision and love and forgiveness, but Jesus also calls us to follow him. There are so many ways that we follow Jesus and put his calling into practice and into expression in our lives. Just one of those ways is by supporting this church with our tithes, gifts, and offerings. We brought an offering with you this evening. I believe there are offering boxes at the back of the pews. And there's more information on our church website as to how we can support our church. As we consider God's good gifts to us and our calling to share those gifts with others, let us stand as we sing our song of praise.
Lord, we pray for our people. We pray for Cal for healing from being hit by a car. We pray for Hildy's neighbor Josephine and her suspected cancer. We pray for Andrea's mother and wisdom for her care. We pray for Rotarians Sharon and Jeff for their move. We pray for the people on our prayer list. We pray for Katie and Robert for their loss of their daughter. We pray for the family of Bart Pavlicek and for her brother-in-law, Paul. Pray for the family and friends of Gracie. We pray for Lee's wife, Anna, for Angie's sister and brother, Chris and Joe, for Hildy's sister, Gloria, for Mark's mother, for Gina's niece, Dee, for Jenny's friend, Doris, for Peggy and Alan's daughter, for Peggy's sister, Nancy, for the family of Gina's son who lived in Israel, for Jan, for Paula and Jim, for Yuri's aunt, for Peter's mother, for the preschool, Good News Home, and for Ben, who will hopefully be returning soon from Oman. We also pray for Reverend Dan Jew and the Willow Grove Korean Reformed Church, and that we share Christ's mission and ministry together. I invite you to pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
to those who helped to prepare the sanctuary for worship this evening as well. So to the Barbs, to Barb Antonowitz and Barb Reed, and I'm sure others lended a hand as well. But thank you, ladies, for getting all the worship stuff initially into Cook Hall when we needed it there. And thank you for bringing it back here. Thank you to Mark as well for moving our remote setup from Cook Hall back to the sanctuary so that we can not only worship in person, but also make sure this worship service is accessible to everyone, those near and far, those able and unable. Bernice, what about Bernice? And Bernice, thanks again for your beautiful quilts, adding beauty to the sanctuary. That last hymn, all of our hymns were evening hymns, and 7th day is coming to a close. There's enough sunlight that you all can get home before the sun sets, which is good. But 12 hours ago, 6 o'clock in the morning, I was in the church parking lot loading up all the balloons that would become the balloon arch for the finish line for the Run with Rotary 5K, and that made me think of the book of Hebrews and about the words there about running with perseverance, the race set before us. So my ramblers and my runners, fellow runners in faith, let us persevere and run the race that God has set before us. And we do so knowing that God shows up in our lives to give us the nourishment, the provision, the love, the grace, and the forgiveness that we need. So as we go, may we go knowing the love of God our Father, the grace of our Savior Jesus Christ, and the gifts and the fellowship and the power of God's Holy Spirit. Our prelude this evening will be sung by Barb Antonowitz, so I would invite you postlude to please be seated as we are blessed by these gifts of music.
Thank you.
beautiful service. Beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thanks, Paula. I hope you had a good trip out to celebrate Sean's graduation. Yep. Done a good job.
You look very 60-ish today.
Yeah, isn't that great?
I had ties about that bike when I was in 60.
Yeah, I got this. I thrifted this from a thrift store somewhere. I think from Ann Arbor this summer when Jamie and I were in Michigan. Yeah.
And the lapels are about the same. The right
very
width
narrow, right? Yeah.
You're just right up there with the 60s.
There, because of the internet, there is no like. I mean, there are fashions that are, right, but all fashion is available to people all the time now. Sort of what I
understand. There's no official trend.
Right. You can wear wide lapels, thin lapels, whatever you want. Just wear it with confidence. And, you know, it's like.
Think of all that stuff I gave away because it was
yeah.
No
longer
in fashion.
You still have a ton to give away.
Oh, yeah.
Partly because it doesn't quite.
Yeah, well, if any of them are 38 shoulders and, like, 37 sleeves,
no.
Let me know. If you have fun old ties like this, I'll take them.
I got rid of them all.
I love vintage ties. What will be the masters that Sean gets?
He is doing, it's a new program which they've introduced, so it's mechanical engineering and AI.
No, wow.
So,
cool.
It's a combination of things. So yeah, he graduated, of course, he had he was not getting any internship, nothing was happening, so then he said, program is there and he applied. Luckily, he got in one year.
Okay.
So it's kind of a. We kind of planned it because he missed 1 year. It was December 25, so here it is October is the cutoff.
Okay.
So he was 1 year late.
Okay.
He was supposed to be in second grade, but when we moved here, he. In first grade, so that 1 year he's catching up now.
Okay.
Yeah, we are hoping to finish his master next year.
Yeah.
Then by the time the economy of the job market
Okay. Well, I'll pray that the right door opens up for us.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks again for being here tonight.
They were fine.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
But like I said, I never saw him at the. They were at the.
Oh,
he had
the
his
rack.
Shirt on. I saw him today. He had a shirt on. But I never. Nancy Meyer and I went down together. I never saw either one of them. So I was. That's what I was wondering. Is everything okay? But then I saw him with the shirt. I said, well, he must have been there.
Yeah.
The only way to get the shirt.
They did the rainbow.
Yeah, well, I didn't go running, I'll tell you that. Sam ran. I have pictures.
He was just admiring the little boy that took off like a
Joe
shotgun.
Oh, at the Ramble?
Yeah.
Maybe they were way ahead of us. We were bringing up the rear for sure. Oh, and Reed Chapman walked it with us.
Oh, that's good.
So we were rambling. We took it literally.
Hi.
So is your garage empty now?
No. But the huge swath of boxes are gone.
Right. But I mean, there's no church stuff in there.
Now everybody did their delivery, and that went very smoothly. So.
Yeah, I saw Elmi went one way, you went another.
Yeah, Barb Bradsell went to Pennsylvania with a carload.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And of course, Jeff and somebody took a loan down to the Elks.
You got a graduation coming up.
Oh,
so yeah. We had it well covered. And what was nice is you go there. We thought, oh, we're going to have to unload this stuff. We opened the back, and three guys came out.
There you go.
Don't touch a thing. We'll
excellent.
Get it.
That's great.
All
right.
So, take care.
I will see you later.
Enjoy the night.
I know, I didn't need the jacket. It was cooler upstairs than downstairs.
Oh, really?
I think so. I was down there for, you know, when I came in, I was down there for a while. When I got upstairs, I said to Katie, it's definitely cooler up here.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think by next week it'll be fine.
It's supposed to rise.
I know, that's what I thought. I expected it to be warmer up there. But even if we don't have that meter and the way that PS, they are unbelievable. They just couldn't care less. And so even if we don't have the, I think we'll probably be okay. The
heat, I think so. It's going to be in the next week.
It's supposed to be in the mid-80s a lot this week. So we'll see.
If not, bring your jacket.
Yep.
Oh, no. That didn't go well. That grass is gross.
I'm gonna take
four
downstairs. The one that got locked.
Oh, wait, good idea.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea.
So,
I can't believe in all the years that I've been here that it got locked and we never had a key. I was sure this key would open it.
Yeah.
It opens the bathroom.
I told Dave the next time he needs to tell people use a credit card.
Oh.
That's what we did when
we had a little kid locked in our bathroom.
Little guy locked himself in the bathroom. You know, you gotta push those buttons.
And a credit card worked, huh?
Yep.
Bye bye, Keith.
What a beautiful evening.
Oh,
I'll say.
Gorgeous.
Yep, yep.
You.
I'm good. What was your experience like in the park today?
It was fine.
Good.
We walked from here.
Okay. Who's down. We? You and Nancy?
Nancy,
Meyer.
Meyer.
Who, so our team had six, me, you and Nancy, Joe and Barb, Sam.
Right.
Like six.
Okay. And I never saw Barb and Joe.
They were there. Yeah.
We looked for them.
Yeah.
We looked for them.
They were cute. They both had walking sticks.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. Two each, and Barb said they came yesterday to the park and practiced so they would know that they could do it.
We walked with Reed. Walked.
Did you see Jamie and the girls?
Yeah.
Okay.
How could you miss Margot with
in
that pink?
Pink shirt, yeah.
Yes. We saw them. We didn't talk. Well, I think we waved across. Did you have fun?
I did.
Yeah?
I love doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, when there's a microphone somewhere, I want to be on the microphone. I don't feel right.
I think I know that.
I don't feel right unless I have it. Put it in my
I think
hand.
I figured that out.
I will do it better than the person currently doing it.
That's funny.
Yep.
Aye, aye, aye. When did you get back? You weren't there till 3, were you?
No.
Everything was pretty much cleaned up by 1 o'clock. So I brought my family home and a few things from church. I brought my stuff and whatever. I brought some stuff home and dropped the girls off. And then I went back to the park and picked up our tables and brought them back. So they're all back. There's two leaned up against the wall because I washed them off because they had gotten a little dirty. I didn't have it in me to pick those up by myself and throw them back in the closet under the stairs.
But you brought all the... No, you couldn't have brought all the tables that Doug... You brought all the tables that Doug came and got?
Yeah. He only took 7.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah. But, well, 2 of the Rotarians came back here with me.
And oh, okay.
Put them downstairs. Yeah. But it either had them out or set them up, you know, Saturday, and birds had pooped on them. So they were... 2 of them had bird poop on them.
No, they set them... I went to the park. They sent them up before Saturday. I went to the park Friday.
Friday, probably, yeah, because that's when they came out.
Because when they left, he left. I only saw him and his dog. He's got a big dog, right?
Mm-hmm.
I saw him, and then he was leaving around the same time I did, and I went to the park to walk, and I saw his truck there, so he was putting him... That was Friday, yeah, because I didn't walk yesterday.
All right. I'm tired. I haven't spent any time with him.
Yeah,
no,
I know.
So I'm
going to
go home.
Okay, me too. I'll see you tomorrow. That's Mike Babbler dropped that off.
Okay, the Bikes for the World.
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, just as I was leaving on Friday.
Got to get that sign put up. Got to do that tomorrow.
All right, I can help you.
That'd be great.
All right. I'm just going to finish, turn the computer off and go home.
Boop it up and do.
See you later.